ومن وصيتي له للحسن والحسين لما ضربه ابن الملجم لعنة الله عليه، أوصيكما بتقوى الله. Imam Ali, during this last hour, he advises us to practice taqwa, to be God-wary. These are very important hours of Hazrat Ali. He's about to leave, and one of the things that he advises is taqwa. And we hear this over and over again. You know, أوصيكم بعباد الله بتقوى الله، أوصيكم نفسي و بتقوى الله. You know, continuously we remind us on a Friday. And as a matter of fact, the very beginning of our fast, we were reminded that, you know, كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلك لعلكم تتقون. It is for that taqwa. So taqwa is a phenomena. This is very important for all of us. And it is the criteria of our akhirah. If we are God-wary, which taqwa means, if you are God-conscious, that's what taqwa means. We have to be God-conscious in each and every actions of ours. To whatever limit possible. Obviously, in salat to a greater extent, right? In ibadat to a greater extent. In our ijtima'at, in our social dealings and social affair, to a greater extent as well. And because of this very reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have prescribed ahkam. You know, the ahkam is there so that man should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether these ahkam be ibadi, you know, the way one is performing, it becomes the way I want to perform. The way Allah wants you to perform. Right? So we have to do it the way Allah wants. It is ibadat. What difference does that make? You know, it is ibadat at the end of the day. No. The way Mawla wants, that is ibadat. Not the way I want. There is ego there. There is nafs there. The way I want. The way Allah wants, that is ibadat. So the ahkamat that we have, the wajibat to begin with, and the muharramat, those things which are haram, all in all, in the nutshell, is for taqwa. Right? And that is what it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is a salat with taqwa, that is accepted. Innama, as they say, you know, what is near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa. You know. So therefore, taqwa is God-wariness, God-consciousness, whether that be ibadi or whether that be in the social affair. And as a matter of fact, it returns back to our own benefit. You know. It returns back to our own benefit. Whether that be social implications, that one will be aloof and safe in this dunya and will protect himself in the dunya and in the akhirah as well. You know, as they say, you know, we don't have time to really look in depth in regards to hijab, for instance. You know, hijab, which is an ahkam ilahi, which points out to a lady who is performing it and who is wearing it, that she is a muttaqi, she is God conscious, it is for her own psyche, it is for her own soul, for her own existence. What did Siddiqa Kubra said when that blind man comes? She stood and she left. The Prophet said, he is blind, he cannot see you. But she says, I am leaving it for my sake. Not that he is blind. So hijab, don't think it is for social. Yes, it has its own value in terms of the social affair and so that there be no facade and corruption. But it is something very, has to do with the femininity, which means that the femininity, the concept of femininity, the phenomenon of femininity is in harmony when it is hidden. Beauty is a feminine quality. The beauty is something which is naturally hidden. Beauty is known as something that is naturally hidden. You know, these explorers you have seen on the Discovery Channel, they will discover a spot, they say, this is the most beautiful. But after that, they say, they are much more beautiful than this. That means beauty is something that is hidden. So a lady which is, you know, who have within her that femininity reality requires it to be hidden. the more the beauty is hidden, the greater it is. Right? Even in the Jannah, you know, as they say, they ask, Maulana, is there hijab in the hereafter? Yes, there is hijab in the hereafter, but it's a different type of hijab. The Mu'minat, those pious ladies, will be in castles that no one will be able to even see them, where they are. So huge, you know, humongous. Sort of huge plot of land that belongs to them, and it's only them and their servants are there to serve them. There's no namahram to look at them. That is hidden. So ahkamat that we have, ahkamat-e-ibadi and also ijtimai, they are all for our benefit. They are all that they make us perfect for takamul-e-insan. Khub usikum, this taqwa is that, and taqwa is something that is active, it is not passive, as we said. You know, if you know how to drive, it that doesn't make any difference than you who doesn't know how to drive. Right? If you have learned how to drive, that means you should be using that skills when you are driving on the car, on the road. What difference does that make if you know, and if you don't know, you're sitting at home? So taqwa is something that is active. God consciousness is not that you stay in the closed door and you do nothing because I want to be muttaqi all the time on the prayer mat. No. Taqwa means you go out on the street, you go to your workplace, you go to your school, you go to your college, you go to the university, and then when you are facing the shaitan, then you protect yourself. Then you break when it becomes orange, when you go when it is green. That's the driving skill. You use it there, right? So the God consciousness, taqwa, is an active reality. It's an active concept. So Hazrat Amir, few hours left for his life, he says, usikum. You know, he's saying, you know, usikum, usikuma bi taqwa Allah. And then, wa alla tabghiya ad-dunya wa in baghdatukuma. Do not go after the dunya. Do not go after the dunya. And even if the dunya comes after you, dunya will come after you. You know, if you not go after the dunya will come after you. And even if it comes after you, do not go towards it. And this is how Hazrat Amir lived. This is how he lived. And this is what he's preaching. This is what he's teaching. Right? Now, when we say dunya, doesn't mean that Hazrat Amir is not asking us, or the Quran is not asking us to live in this dunya. You know, there's a hadith which says that a person who says that, may the curse be on the dunya, it is so bad, right? The dunya will reply this and say, may the curse be on you, because how much of sins that you have committed on me, right? Dunya is an ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mazaratul akhirah. Dunya is the best thing that one could ever imagine, because it is through this dunya he will get the fruit for the akhirah. If it was not for the dunya, how he would be given the rewards? He's tested in this dunya, and then on that basis, on that criteria, he's rewarded. So when the traditions or the ayat talks about dunya being bad, doesn't mean from that point of view. Dunya being bad in the sense that when one is attracted, or when one looks at dunya independently, when I'm thinking that this is whatever I want is independent by itself, and I, you know, run after it and I get it. And once I get it, I hold on to it so, you know, so close to me that it's very difficult for me to let go, because I'm thinking this is independent. But this is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is by His wujud. It is because of Him that is existing. If it was not for Him, it would not be. So as long as I am attached, as long as I regard that to be independent, not in connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will be fooled. That dunya is something not good. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ila Allah. Oh people, you are faqir, you are really nothing. You know, it's like saying, is 3 an odd number or an even number? It's a, you know, odd number, right? It's not an even number. Can the oddness of the 3 separate it from the 3? It just cannot be. It is in the essence for it to be odd. So the dunya, and ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara, we are faqir. that faqr, that need is always required by us. It is in us, our wujud, our existence, and everything that we desire for and we want for. It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the provider of it. We have to ask Him. Yes, at the same time, He has asked us to work towards it. But work towards it with tawakkul, with reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not working towards it as thinking that that is independent. So He says that even if the dunya comes after you, do not go after it. وَلَا تَأَسَفَ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا زُوِيَ عَنْكُمَا. Do not do ta'asuf. Do not be sad if it comes towards you and then, you know, if you had it and you have let go. It's a loss. Do not be upset about it. You know, it is for how many, you know, number of years that you could ever live or you could ever have. Eventually, one have to go. One have to really remember. That's why the ulama-i akhlaq, you know, the people, the scholars of akhlaq, they always commend that visit graveyards. Every day, if not every day, at least once a day. The culture that we have in the West is the opposite. They are far away, they don't really care, they don't really want to talk about, because it depresses you, right? About death, about funerals, so on and so forth. But in Islam, it is the other, the opposite. This is to go visit. If not every day, you know, Sayyid Qazi, they would always find the Ustad of Allama Tabatabai. They would always find him in Badiyus Salam. One of the students of Qadi says, what is he doing? Whenever I see him, he's in the Badiyus Salam all the time. Marhum, Rahmatullah Ali. Then one day, this student comes to Sayyid Qadi, and before he speaks, he said, I will advise you not to go to Isfahan. Your problem will be resolved. The student was shocked, because the student wanted to ask his teacher that I have received a telegraph, I have received a letter which says that there is a problem that the parents are facing, and shall I go back? Qazi says it will be resolved, don't worry. Before even the student asking, Qazi said. And then after that, he says, you always wonder what I'm doing in Wadi Salam. This is where they teach me this. So even when she informed him. So remembering death is one of the biggest lessons that one could, you know, one could get just by visiting, just by remembering it. You know, one really learns from it, right? Because as in a hadith, they say that, you know, three things come with you till the grave. Two things, they return back, one thing remains with you. Your maal, it will take you there. What an honorable funeral it has been given to you. Your children, they will come with you as well. But what remains with you is the amal which was practiced with taqwa. Those actions will remain with you. This fasting that we are fasting, it will remain with us. We are fasting it for the sake of Allah. We are fasting it lillah. Because it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. It's been addressing to amanu, O people who are believers. How blessed we are. We say, yes. You know, when somebody says, who is the believer? I say, I am the believer. I'm proud of it, right? And I fast. This will remain with us. So, graveyard, visiting the graves, it's something that is commendable that we have to bring into our practice. So, this will not make us sad or upset or disappoint us if we leave something. So Hazrat Amir is advising us, do not do ta'asuf. Do not be upset that if something goes away. And that has to be with practice. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرْ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Something that we dear the most, we have to let go. And we have to teach our children. You know, I mentioned this last week as well. Something that he likes, maybe an Xbox, FIFA 16, yeah, which is about to come. Everybody have pre-booked it. Yes, pre-book it. When it comes to you in your mail, give it away to your friend. Don't keep it for yourself. It is very difficult. But after 6 months, now my son wants to sell FIFA 15 on eBay. It doesn't really care, because there's another one, FIFA 16 is coming, right? He was so much attached to it. But I have to teach him. See, it's useless. Now you yourself want to sell it. So when it comes, it's very attractive. When it's very glittery, very shiny, one is attracted towards. So something that we hold dear the most, somehow we have to teach, we have to let go, we have to make that distance from that thing. I really like something, okay. In order that I step on my soul, I will not do it. Imam Khomeini in 40 Hadith says, after having good meal, you want to drink water. Don't do that. From scientific point of view, it's good as well. But from the nafsani point of view, step on it. Don't do it purposely. Something that you really like. Do not do it. So that your willpower becomes stronger. So that your wujud expands. Then he says that, وَقُولَ بِحَقٍ, and always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. وَأَمَلًا لِلْأَجْرِ كَوْنَ لِلْذَالِمِ خَسْمًا لِلْمَظْلُومِ أَوْنَ. And always speak the truth, and your amal, your actions be for the ajr, for the hereafter. Keep in mind the akhirah. The person who keeps the akhirah in mind, you know, alaykum, you know, for him belongs, you know, for him belongs that life, really. That he keeps the akhirah in mind. And do not, you know, oppress. You find this over and over again. Every imam in his last wasiyat have mentioned, do not oppress the one who have no helper. You know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he has that wasiyat as well. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Then after that, he continues, he says, Allah, Allah, fi aytam. You know, he kind of reminds us of the orphans, you know, to take care of the orphans, how important it is. As they say, if the hadith of the Prophet, when he went on Miraj, you know, there are three things Allah cannot count. The angel cannot write the reward of it. There are three actions the angels, because when the Prophet was going to the heaven, there was an angel writing everything. The Prophet asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm recording everything, what's happening. What comes from the heaven, what goes towards the heaven. Our du'as or whatever. Every second is recording everything, right? How many rewards a person is getting. You know, I give salams to someone first, 70 times reward. One person replies the salam, one time reward. Everything. So the Prophet asked him, is there anything that you cannot record? He said, yes, there are three things. One is the salawat. Because the ayah says that Allah is the one who sends salutations. Malaika is the one. So an action of Allah, how can it be recorded? Right? Because that act of Allah, which is sending salutation, is binihayat. You know, it cannot be recorded, the action of Allah. So angel says, I cannot record that. Then he says, if in a prayer, if there are more than 10 people in a namaz jamaat, if there are more than 10 people in a jamaat, no one can record this sawab of that. MashaAllah, how many sawab we are getting. This is the barakat of Ramadan. Huh? On time, every day, jamaat prayer that we have. Right? This is the barakat, blessing of Ramadan. This is Shairullah. Right? This, one cannot record the sawab of it. So what is waiting for us in the hereafter? Right? In the akhirah. Why should we really worry? A person who is afraid of death is because he doesn't know where he is going. When we know where we are going, why we should be afraid of, isn't it so? That's why Hazrat Amir and Masumin, the awliya, they say, we really yearn for the akhir. Ad-dunya, sijnul mu'min, wa jannatul kuffar. Ad-dunya is the sijin, is the prison of a mu'min, and jannat for kafir. But for mu'min is the akhir. He's really yearning for that, right? So, Hazrat Amir, the Prophet says, the third thing is when a person strokes a hand on the head of a yatim with kindness. That sawab cannot be recorded. You know, it's a good opportunity in the month of Ramadan. There are different organizations who sponsors orphan. It's good to participate in it. But obviously we need to question that this method of orphanages taking care of orphans, is that a good method or not? We really have to question that. We have to have some sort of revolutionary ideas to change this. Maybe adapting it, perhaps. Bringing them here. Yes, there are issues, mahram, non-mahram, that will be there as well. but bringing a child in a such a way that he doesn't feel, he doesn't miss his parents, rather than putting them in a big sort of building, these are all orphans, written on their forehead, these are orphans. Are we, this is the right method to really deal with the orphans or not? I don't know. It's something that we really need to work on it. However, the Imam is advising that take care of the orphans. It is very important. It's an act of God. You know, as the ayah of the Quran says, you know, when you were yatim, I took care of you. So it's an action of God. Salwat, action of God, isn't it? Taking care of yatim, action of God. So the Prophet advised, the Imam is advising. The Imam also advised here to us in regards to providing food for the needy. The month of Ramadan, providing the food for the needy, how important it is. Then he advises us again, Usikuma wa jamiya wuldi. I advise to you, both of them, Kuma, you know, both Imam Hassan and Imam, and Jamiya Wuldi, and to all my children. We are all children of Amirul Mu'min, aren't we? To all my children, but he emphasizes wa ahali wa man balagahu kitabi. Whoever reaches my book, whoever reaches my writing, whoever gets this message, for them is what? Bitaqwallah. I've advised already, but again he advises how important taqwa is. Allah, bitaqwallah wa nazm amrikum, and nazm, order. Organization. The more we organize us, the more there will be time in it. You know, when you start your PhD, the first lesson that they give you is organization. Organize your time. That is the first thing they teach you, the orientation of it. If you don't, then you're gone. You lost it. It will take years and years and years if you cannot organize it. So organization, order is very important. And mashallah, Muslims are so organized, aren't they? That is why they are very successful. That is why they are, you know, having flowers everywhere, all over the dunya, instead of facing a stick. The masumin, the imams, they are advising us. They are advising us so that we gain knowledge, so that we educate, so that we be the perfect. In this very advice, the Hazrat Amir advises, practice on the Quran before others practice on the Quran. Imam is saying, for you is the Quran. Practice it, bring it to your life before others bring Quran to their life. And when we look at it, the life of others, those who are not Muslim, there is more reflection of a Quran. I think one of the Bernard Shaw or somebody famous, you know that, right? What he said. I saw Muslims but no Islam, right? There was a lot of Muslims where he went to, you know, Muslim countries. I saw a lot of Muslims, but Islam was not there. Where was Islam, right? So Imam is mentioning in his wasiyat, in his last wasiyat, for you is the Quran, bring that to your life. Recite it, read it, practice it, investigate it. Look at the exegesis of it, interpretations of it. Before others does that. And obviously when a person brings a Quran to one's life, success is his. In this dunya, and also iqra wa warqa, recite and go higher in the hereafter as well. Then Hazrat Amir advises wasalah dhat bainakum, sila rahim, connecting to the kin, good relationships with family members, with friends, with community members. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in his wasiyat provides a bit of heritage to someone who plotted against him. His hand was involved in the murder of the sixth Imam. And then from the property that he was leaving behind, from that he designated an amount for him, for that person. The other family members, they said, for him, he was responsible of the state that you are in today. Then in Surah Ra'd, he recites the verse, how can I cut something which Allah have joined me. Allah have made me His relative. No, it was not me. Allah made me. So how can I cut that? So be careful in regards to Sile Rahim. We tend to find reasons to cut our relationship. Sometimes on the basis of deen, on the basis of Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, because the family is not practicing Islam, so we cut our relationship for that sake. You know, we have to be very careful in regards to that. Inshallah, on a Friday we have a workshop on Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar to look at the different angles and aspects of Amar bil Maruf. What is the level and how far can we really stretch that, right? So the sixth Imam behaved in that fashion. So now this community, Allah have joined us here. We are here sitting next to each other. We are praying together. So we should not be holding grudges against each other. There might be issues. The way you recite might be different. The way how beautifully we recite the Joshan-e Kabir. Different approaches, different styles. How lovely is that? It's like a plain wall with one, like, is this beautiful? White, plain white board? Or if there be a different colors, red and yellow and green and beautiful pictures here, is that beautiful? So when we are entering the valley of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from different tones, different voices, different hearts come together and they all connect to Allah. How beautiful is that? We are blessed with it. We should appreciate. Maybe there could be some errors. Overlook that error. Maybe he's not reciting. Overlook, it's okay. It's that heart which is getting in connection to that person. Maybe he wants to put bhajia first, then he wants to put the watermelon afterwards. You're getting upset for that. No, put watermelon first, after that you put bhajia. I mean, what is that? You see, Baba. Right? You know how these are petty things that expand that, extend that. We are serving Ahlul Bayt. That's what it counts. And if he's doing that, appreciate that. Nice. It's okay. Right? So Allah have connected us together. So we should not be the point of departure from this act of God. And we should appreciate each other. Not hold grudges in our heart against. Open that heart. If we are of forgiving, Allah will be of forgiving to us on the day of judgment. If we hold ourselves from connecting to others, why is so much of emphasis? If a person gives salam first, there is 70 times sawab for him. It was never found that anybody gave salam first to the Prophet. It was Prophet who gave salam. Whether that be small or big, no. That's how Prophet was. That's how his akhlaq was. You know, and he is that sublime morality, makarimul akhlaq, right? So we have to follow. We are the follower of that Prophet. Right? Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Very quick riwayat I will read and then translate in regards to Amirul Mumineen, as we are looking at the qualities of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. And this was from the very wasiyat of Amirul Mumineen, last wasiyat of Amirul Mumineen, which we just discussed, where he advised us of taqwa and, you know, of the dunya and of the Quran and of, you know, connecting to the kin, good relationship with them, not doing zulm, you know, speaking the truth. There's a person called Dharar, and he was in the company of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And Muawiyah says to Dharar, explain me or tell me about the qualities of Amirul Mumineen. Dharar says that if I tell you, you're gonna, you know, chop my head away. Dharar says, no, please do so, you know, and I guarantee you, nothing will happen. Then he starts, Dharar guft, be khuda saugand, Ali in gune bood ke roozhara rooze mi dasht. Ali was someone during the day he would fast. Amirul Mumineen. Wa shabhara bi ibadat qiyam mikard. And at nights he would be standing up in prayers. That's what we ask. This is what we should ask for. We are follower of Ali. Our du'as of month of Ramadan should be that. Oh Allah, the month of Ramadan will be over. You know, I got this habit of night prayers. Maybe not all of it. I just do 2 rakat. You know, because the time of Sahri, I'm awake. I'll just do 2 rakat of night prayers, right? At least I'm waking up in the Sahri. Oh Allah, keep this in as a habit for me all the time, right? We should ask for these things. وَلِبَاسِ خَشِنْ رَدُوزْ دَشْتْ His libas was khashin, was very rough. The clothes he used to wear was rough, right? وَبَرْ غَزَى سَادِ عَلَاقِمَنْ بُوتْ غَزَى سَادِ That's how he used to eat. Very simple dry bread with salt. One day Fizza, you know, put some olive oil to his bread. He comes back home and he sees on the food mat bread with olive oil, you know, being wiped on the so that it becomes soft. He did not say anything. He did not utter anything. Next day he sealed his bread so that they don't try to open and put olive oil on his bread. This is how Hazrat our Mola was. Dry bread. And most of the time it's salt. That's how he used to eat dry bread on salt. Right? او در میان ما می نشست و اگر ما سکوت می کردیم سخن آغاز می کرد. He would sit with us, with everybody. And if we are quiet, he will initiate speaking. Amirul Mu'mineen is the most knowledgeable one. He is the Khalifatullah. He is the son-in-law of Rasul. When everybody is quiet, he says, why should I speak? You know, he's not speaking, I'll not speak as well. You know, the English attitude, right? Yeah. But Hazrat Amir, no, he would start speaking. He would initiate that. وَچِزِي مِپَرْسِدِيمْ پَاسُخْ مِدَدْ Whatever we asked, he would give that. بَيْتُ الْمَالْ رَا بَتُورِ مُسَاوِي تَقْسِيمْ مِكَرْ The distribution of Baytul Mal. Oh, amazing. You know, we are aware of it. You know, because the time is not there, I don't want to go. I just want to read the riwayat itself. تَقْسِيمْ مِكَرْ وَدَرْ مِيَانِ مَرْدُمْ بَعَدْلَ رَفْتَار مِنُمْ With adl, with justice. This was the very special and unique quality of Hazrat Amir. You know, he lived according to justice and he established that in his reign. And then, Dhaif as sitamish nami harasid. You know, those who were weak, they were not afraid of Amir al-Mumineen. Usually, when the Khalifa, people are afraid in the reign, right? Whatever the government, whatever it may be, there is some sort of fear. For the weak people, but Amir al-Mumin, for Amir al-Mumin. Then, بخدا سوگن, نیروی شدید داشت. He was a strong man. Hazrat Amir, Hazrat Ali was a very strong man. نیروی شدید داشت. ایمان از جانب او می جوشید و حکمت از زبانش جاری بود. Iman was like coming out from him. It was like a spring of Iman. And hikmat will flow from his mouth. Iman will flow from him. He was the source of that Iman. Right, به حق سخن می گفت. He would always speak the truth. و حکم او فصل الخطاب بود. And his decision was the final decision that discerns between حق and باطل. Now listen to this. سوگن به می خورم. شبی او را در محرابش دیدم. By God, I saw him in محراب at night. And then پاسی از شب گذشته بود. او در حال نماز بود and it was a bit of late of night and he was in his prayers دست بر محاسنش داشت مانند بیمار بر خود می پیچید and he has a hand on his face, on his beard and then he was trembling like how a person who is ill and sick when a person is an ill in another riwayat it's like he was trembling like A person who is bitten by a snake, how he trembles, how he shakes, how he is feeling sort of the pain. That's how Hazrat Amir was in his prayers at night. That's how he was. And then, gham, and from both of his eyes, the tears will not stop. It will always flow. This is how the state was of our Mawla. And then he would say, Ay dunya, be suraq mi amadi, wa khudra bar man mi ari, digari ra fareb bide. He will tell to the dunya, Ad dunya, do not fool me. Go to someone else. I have given you 3 talaq, which means, you know, I will never come or look towards you after giving 3 talaq.
That's how he was with the dunya, you know. And then he would say that وَقْتَ تُرَ فَرَا نَرَسِدِ and عُمْرَتُ كُوتَاس, your age is very little. You know, you're not very long, you know, for a person to live 46, 60 years, that's all. وَأَيْشَتُ كُوشَكْ وَنَاچِز and the pleasures of the dunya is very little and really be nothing. أَنْدَكْتُ حِسَابْ دَارَتْ وَبِسْيَارَتُ عِقَابْ even the little that is in the dunya, there is hisab of it. Whatever we do in the little in the dunya, there is hisab of it. And the sins that we commit, there is azab for it. Even if we do little, there is hisab for it. And the sins that we commit in it, there is azab for it. Right. And this is the final one. I'm making the riwayat very cut short. He would say, after all that, he would say, ah, as duriera wa kambude tushe. Ah, min qillati zat. I cry for what little I'm taking from this dunya for the hereafter. Mawlai Muttaqiyan, he is crying that he hasn't gathered enough for the journey of the akhirah. That how dreadful and how scary and how difficult the journey might be, where Hazrat Amir is saying that I have nothing. Where Hazrat Amir on the 19th night, where his belt gets stuck on the door, he pulls it and he says, oh Ali, tighten your belt, straighten your back, get ready for maut. That is Ali. And we lost such a soul. Was so kind. You have just heard the awsaf of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He would go and attend to the poor. He would sit with the poor people in the wilderness who had no house. He would clean the earth under their feet, Hazrat Amir would. And this incident is when Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein buried Abul Hassan, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and were returning back. As they were returning back from the wilderness, from the desert, you know, where there was no vicinity, where there was no houses and stuff, right? Which is called Kharabat, you know. As they were returning back, there was an old man who was blind and who was sitting there. And this old man was crying. And then Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein inquired that, oh, old one, you know, why are you crying? He says that it's been 3 days that my friend has not come to me. Because when he would come to me, he would help me, he would make food for me, he would give me food, he would feed me. He would wipe the feet, he would wipe the ground under my feet. He will make things in order for me. Whatever little belongings that he had, he would make them in order for me. He would sit with me and he would speak to me. He would speak to me of the pains of the dunya. How dunya, how the world have betrayed and cheated Amirul Mu'mineen. He would speak to me of that. When he speaks to me, his heart was lightened. اپنا درد دل کرتا تھا یہ شخص میرے پاس آ کر مشکلات دنیا جو دنیا کس طرح سے فریب اور دھوکہ دیا ہے اس کی گفتگو کرتا تھا میرے ساتھ یہ شخص میرا جو سامان ہے اسے صاف اور تمیز کر کے رکھتا تھا اسے آرڈر میں رکھتا تھا جب مجھے بھوک لگتی تھی مجھے کھانا دیتا تھا اپنے ہاتھوں سے مجھے کھانا کھلاتا تھا یہ شخص 3 دن ہو گئے میں کچھ کھایا نہیں ہوں یہاں پہ امام حسن وہاں پہ جو غذا ہوتی ہے اس سے لے کے کھلاتے ہیں پھر یہاں پہ امام حسن پوچھتے ہیں آخر وہ شخص کون تھا یہ شخص کہتا ہے مجھے پتہ نہیں وہ شخص آخر کون تھا آپ کو پتہ ہے کوفے میں اکثر جو افراد تھے وہ شیعان علی نہیں تھے اکثر جو کوفے میں افراد تھے وہ شیعان علی نہیں تھے لیکن جب ضربت لگی علی کو اور علی بستر مرگ پہ جب جاتے ہیں 3 دن تک راتوں میں جو کھانا انہیں نہیں ملتا ہے 3 دن تک راتوں میں انہیں گیہوں اور اناج نہیں ملتا ہے تو جب وہ سمجھ میں آتا ہے ان کو کہ یہ علی تھے جو راتوں کو جو ہے غذا لے کر آیا کرتے تھے یہاں پہ وہ شخص کہتا ہے کہ 3 دن ہو گئے ہیں وہ شخص میرے پاس نہیں آیا ہے لیکن میں یہ ابو الحسن ابا محمد امام حسن پوچھتے ہیں کہ آخر وہ شخص کون تھا مجھے پتا نہیں مگر مجھے یہ میں کہہ سکتا ہوں کہ اس کا جو لہجہ تھا وہ بالکل تمہارے ویسا لہجہ تھا یہاں پہ امام حسن گریا کرنے لگتا اپنے بابا کو یاد کرتا پھر یہاں پہ امام حسن فرماتے ہیں وہ میرے بابا تھے. پھر آخر آپ کے بابا ہے کہاں؟ اب وہ اس دنیا میں نہیں رہے. اِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. کیا تم مجھے اس کی خبر پہ لے جا سکو گے؟ امام حسن اور امام حسین کہتے ہیں ہاں ضرور چلو. نابینا شخص تھا. اور پھر اس کے بعد امام حسین مدد کرتے ہیں, کمک کرتے ہیں اس بوڑھے شخص کو, خبر پہ لے جاتے ہیں. جیسا ہی وہ خبر پہ پہنچتا ہے اپنے آپ کو گرا دیتا ہے خبر پہ, خاک کو اپنے سر پہ ڈالتا ہے اور ایسی چیخ مار کے گریا کرنے لگتا ہے کہ اس کی جان, اس کی روح نکل جاتی ہے. اسی وجہ سے زرارہ جو روایت کی آخر میں معاویہ پوچھتا ہے زرارہ علی کے بغیر تیرے دن کس طرح سے گزر رہے ہیں, زرارہ کہتا ہے کہ اسی طرح سے جس طرح سے ایک ماں کی گود میں اپنے بچے کو جس طرح سے ذبح کیا جاتا ہے. کیا حالت ہو وہ شخص کی, میری حالت وہ ہے علی کے لیے. جب اصحاب, اور پھر اس کے بعد معاویہ کہتا ہے واخن سچی میں تو نے سچ کہا ہے, خدا رحمت کرے علی ابن ابی طالب پہ. یہ معاویہ کے الفاظ ہیں. جب اصحاب, جب دشمن علی کے اتنے شیدائی ہے, علی سے اتنا محبت کرتے ہیں, تو آپ تصور کریے زینب کی محبت کیا ہوگی, ام کلثوم کی محبت کیا ہوگی, امام حسن اور امام حسین کی محبت کیا ہوگی, اور ہمارے چھوٹے ابو الفضل عباس کی محبت علی کے لیے کیا ہوگی. اللہ لعنۃ اللہ علی قوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. ماتم علی.
رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, 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 ہے کعبہ کرے ماتم, ہے کعبہ کرے ماتم مولا مرتضیٰ کا, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, سجدے میں ضرب ماری ظالم ابن ملجم, سجدے میں ضرب ماری ظالم ابن ملجم, شیرے خدا کے قاتل, شیرے خدا کے قاتل مجرم ہے تو خدا کا, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, تابوت مرتضیٰ کا شبیر اٹھا کے بولے, تابوت مرتضیٰ کا شبیر اٹھا کے بولے, آنکھوں میں میری بابا, آنکھوں میں میری بابا منظر ہے کربلا کا, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ کا, تابوت مرتضیٰ کا شبیر اٹھا کے بولے, تابوت مرتضیٰ کا شبیر اٹھا کے بولے, رخصت ہوا جہاں سے غم خوار مصطفیٰ.
غلام تھا مصطفیٰ کا سجدے میں ضرب ماری ظالم ابن ملجم سجدے میں ضرب ماری ظالم ابن ملجم شیر خدا کے کاتے شیر خدا کے کاتے مجرے
رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط دانو لاوے نا روگ یتیمی والا رب بے وط ਪਰਦੇਸ ਚ ਜ਼ੈਨਬ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਪਰਦੇਸ ਚ ਜ਼ੈਨਬ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਕੋਈ ਵਸਦਾ ਉਜੜ ਨਾ ਜਾਵੇ ਦਾ ਰੋਗ ਯਤੀਮ ਵਾਲਾ ਰੱਬ ਬੇਵਤਨਾ ਨੂੰ ਲਾਵੇ ਨਾ ਰੋਗ ਯਤੀਮ ਵਾਲਾ ਰੱਬ ਬੇਵਤਨਾ ਨੂੰ ਲਾਵੇ ਨਾ ਰੋਗ ਪਰਦੇਸ ਚ ਜ਼ੈਨਬ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਪਰਦੇਸ ਚ ਜ਼ੈਨਬ ਵਾਂਗੂ ਕੋਈ ਵਸਦਾ ਉਜੜ ਨਾ ਜਾਵੇ ਨਾ ਰੋਗ ਯਤੀਮ ਵਾਲਾ ਰੱਬ ਬੇਵਤਨਾ ਨੂੰ ਲਾਵੇ ਨਾ ਰੋਗ ਯਤੀਮ ਵਾਲਾ ਰੱਬ ਬੇਵਤਨਾ ਨੂੰ ਲਾਵੇ ਗਲ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਜਾ